lift our voice to Him in worship. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We praise Your name, O Lord. Giving You glory, Lord. We give You honor, Lord. Praise Your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Just be seated.
Lord, we're just so grateful for Your multicolored grace over our lives, God. We thank You, God, that every person in this room is under the umbrella of Your favor, Lord. Thank You for Your favor, God. We thank You, God, that we accept Your favor, we receive Your favor this morning. And as we were worshiping this morning, I just felt like the real strong presence of God. And I felt like He wanted to heal the deeper parts of your soul, the deeper parts of your inner being. And we just thank You for Your presence this morning, God. We just lift our hands to You, God. We place our hands over our hearts, God, over our souls, over our spirits, God. This morning, we thank You for Your healing power, God. We thank You for what You want to do this morning. Father, You said that You came to heal the brokenhearted. You came to set the captives free, God. And I just pray over Your people this morning. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would set Your people free this morning. God, I pray that the power of Your Holy Spirit would just come on each person this morning, and that You would just break that sadness off of them, those things that are in their lives that they've been hanging on to for a long time. God, You want to take those away from them this morning. God, we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your healing power, God. I thank You for touching Your people where nobody else can see, God, in those secret areas of their lives, God. Father, I just pray for Your healing power. I pray for the power, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, just to touch each person. What we can't do for ourselves, God, we ask You to do that this morning in the name of Jesus.
If you receive that, say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you, worship team. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord and a little bit of extra time in God's presence. We're moving things around a little bit in the service so that we can just linger in God's presence. It's His presence that makes a difference. And if there would be one thing that I might like our church to be famous for, it wouldn't be the name Gateway. It wouldn't be the name Canastracy. It wouldn't be our decor. I would like our church to be famous for the presence of the Lord. You just go there and there's something about it. You just experience God's presence. Wonderful. Well, I want to welcome everybody that's watching online and everybody that's here in the auditorium or cafe or wherever you're listening. We're going to get into the message in just a moment, but before we do, let me give you a little preview of something very special that's coming this Friday. It starts at 9:45. That is our Inspire Leaders Conference. This is what we've been working for the whole year, and this is a conference with a purpose. It's about our mission. It's not just about a good time. It's going to be a good time, and if you like surprises and you like great food and you like heavily anointed preaching and prophetic ministry, all of that is going to be there. But it's all fashioned because Jesus is forming a team right now. He's bringing together a team, and you are a part of what He's doing. God is calling from the north, south, east, and west people who long to be a part of what God is doing in the earth today. And that's what this conference is really about. The theme is team, and that's not the team that you watch and the team that does it. That's everybody. And so there is a place for you in this conference, and there's a place for you in our vision. And you are needed and wanted. That's what this conference is really all about. So if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for a sense of belonging, if you love fellowship and good food and inspiration, then this conference is for you. We're going to start next Friday morning about 9:45 in the morning. We're going to kick off with worship and good times. The cafe will be open. There's going to be great food. Friday night is going to be an unbelievable service with high worship and Pastor Frank DiMaggio speaking. And then we're going to go into the warehouse for a party. And we've got surprises and we've got awesome things that are coming. And then everything starts all over Saturday morning again, and we'll go. So come for all of it, or come for the part of it, just for the part that you can make. But I pray that you can make all of it. It's only a day and a half, and I believe your life will never be the same. This is the big one, so it's going to be popping. So get somebody, bring them, register today if you haven't. You must register for the conference. Even if you come last minute, we will register you at the door, because, of course, there's food involved, and so we need to have that covered. And I'm just believing for a really great time. My first message in the conference is going to be out of the life of David, where I talk about the team that God is building for his kingdom, where David brought together the discouraged, the indebted, the distressed, and the brokenhearted, and he formed a team out of them. And I tell you, from there, it's going to go on. It's going to be a great conference. So hope you can make it, and looking forward to seeing you there. Well, we've been in our series called Together, Doing Life as a Team, and we're kind of echoing this thought of how God wants to connect us and join our lives together. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about the team that God is building and why together is important, and we've looked at a few of the things that pull us apart. We've looked at isolation, which is the plan of the enemy, and we've looked at how God wants to break isolation, keep us nourished and encouraged by strengthening us together. Talked also about marriages and families and all the relationships, friendships. We've talked, too, about ministry relationships, how to minister together. Today, I just want to finish this series and talk to you about how we do faith together and how we do community together, and really what it looks like to be a church, what it looks like to be a community doing life together. When I say church, what do you think of? Depending on your culture, your background, whether you were raised in church or what kind of a church you were raised in, or maybe you weren't raised in any kind of church at all. Many people like that here in Silicon Valley. When I say church, a lot of different things come to people's minds. Some people think about a building. They say, well, the church is a building, that little country church that we just love and we want to get married in. And you know, or others will think about a set of doctrines or beliefs or practices or behaviors. That's the church. The church would say this. The church would say that. The church gets in the news. You know, sometimes the church gets political, or there may be a scandal in the church. You may think of those kinds of things. You might think of the church as a place where you were wounded. You might think of the church as a place where you were nurtured and fed, something that has been great for your life. Maybe you thought of church as a place of boredom. You were forced to go to church, and it really wasn't for you. It was you didn't get it. You didn't want to go, and you resented having to go to church. Church could be a lot of different things, but I want to zero in on what I think is the right filter or the right frame to put around this word church, and that's the word doing life together as a community of faith. I would say church is about the word together, but the power of being together, not just sitting together, but what is it actually in a supernatural dimension? What is it in an emotional, soul-nurturing dimension that happens, that is God's plan for us in the church? There's just something about being together. I travel still a fair amount, not as much as I used to, because the older I get, the more I want my bed and my chair and my remote. That's what I want. And of course, I want to be with you. I want to be with my wife. I don't. A lot of times, I'll bring Kathy with me, but it's not always the right thing to do to bring her along. So sometimes we're separated, and I don't like to be away from my wife. I don't like her sitting by herself at home. You know, our kids are grown up now. We're empty nesters. Yes, and. What that means, though, is that if I go out of town for a day or two, she's by herself. I don't like to do that. And then, you know, probably all of us can relate to this feeling that we have when we're away from the people that we love, that we just miss them. When I'm away from Kathy, I miss her. I want to just be with her. It doesn't feel right. If I don't see my sons for more than a few days, maybe a week or so, I start to ache. And my grandchildren and my daughter-in-laws, if I don't see them, it's like something is missing. There's something about being together. How many understand what I'm talking about? Earlier this year, my phone rang, and my sister was informing me that my dad was likely having a stroke. And I live in San Jose, and they live in the Central Valley. And I mean, it didn't take me long. I mean, we were in the car fast, getting over to that hospital. And I tell you, my brother and my sister and his children and several of, I mean, we all came together because in a time of need, there's something about being together. What is that? You get courage, you get nurture, you get, I don't know, a sense of comfort. It's just so right. It has to be. You've got to be together at a certain time. We're right now just past the one-year anniversary of this devastating fire that took place up in Santa Rosa, where Gateway City Church Santa Rosa, our campus, up there, just two blocks, I mean short blocks shy of that devastating, you drive through that area, the Coffee Park area, and it still looks like a bomb went off there. They're starting to rebuild those houses a year later. But I'll never forget that morning when I received the call. Actually, it was a video on my phone. I looked at it, and it was our campus pastor, Greta, who you're going to see this week at the conference. Greta and Frank, they were videoing their flight from their house and the orange that was lighting up the sky and how they had to flee their neighborhood to get out of there. Their house was spared and our church was spared, but it was a devastating, devastating thing. And I prayed with them and I hung up, and then I thought, I have to be there. I got to be together with our church is in danger. I wasn't sure if the roads would be open or if I could even make it, but I called them back and I said, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm on my way. I'm coming. There's something about being together that's so right, that's so important. That those moments of together is really what shapes our lives. And for all of us, when we have our hard week or our difficulty or our disappointment, we have that day that we didn't want to have, we have that conversation, that phone call, that we get that news that we didn't want to hear, and it hurts, we're bruised, and we're thinking, well, it's almost Sunday. The way I look at it is I say, there is something about being together with God's people that's going to help me. It's going to strengthen me. I need together. I need that, whatever that intangible is. And when I think about the church, I don't think about a building. I think about the power of what happens when we are together. This morning, I want to give you five things that happen in a church, in a healthy church, and maybe why we have a church. Why are we even doing this? Why do we bother with this building? And why do we get together like we're getting? There's five things that I want us to think about when it comes to being a community together. Number one, when we are together as the church, we experience God's presence and His power. That is something so special that we may not always experience when we're by ourselves. Paul the Apostle describes the church as the body of Christ, and look at the words he uses when he describes here in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, together, everyone say together, together we are His house. Now that's powerful right there. What is it about together? Together we are God's house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is what? Christ Jesus Himself. Every once in a while I have to laugh because somebody will come out with a ridiculous book or some kind of a concrete, numbskull, brain-dead analysis of the future of the church that says, oh, watch out, because the church isn't going to exist in a few more years. The church isn't relevant. The church isn't this, the church. And I say, you're as dumb as a bag of rocks. If you think a church that is being built by Jesus, that Jesus Himself is actually the cornerstone of, which, by the way, is built on a foundation of the holy men and women of God called the apostles and the prophets, that something that God is built is going to crumble or isn't going to survive? You say, well, the devil's going to destroy the church. Well, here's my question. If the devil had the power to destroy the church, what's he waiting for? Why did he wait 2,000 years? Why did he wait until after you got saved and I got saved and massive revivals have taken place in the earth and God's power has been poured out on every nation, closed-door nations, China and all the African nations that were far from God and God and America, and God has poured out his spirit time and time again, and the gates of hell have not stopped. You think, well, yeah, you know, it's a tough political climate right now. I mean, things are pretty jumpy in America. I don't know if we can handle this. I don't know. Our church might blow apart. I'm nervous. The church survived the Roman Empire. The church survived the Christians being thrown to wild beasts for entertainment. The church just grew and grew and grew. I think we're going to make it through this election cycle. So keep your podcasts and your DVDs about the, you know, the near demise of the church. Too late. Too late. I'm already convinced otherwise. The church is built together. It is the house of God, and it's not going anywhere. Can I have a hallelujah this morning? Cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, and it says we are carefully joined. What's our word? Together in him, becoming a holy temple. The church is a dwelling place for God. Talking about something holy. It's not another institution. It's not another organization. The church is something supernatural, something special and great and different. When we come together, we're experiencing God's presence, and I could go on and on about that. I'll read you 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. I don't want to comment on the last part of it because it's a big subject, but there's a power and there's an authority when the church gets together. Paul said, when you gather, that's a together word, when you gather in the name of the Lord Jesus and I am present with you in spirit, the infinite power of our Lord Jesus is present also. If you continue in that verse, he's actually talking about the church, the ecclesia, the legislative power of God to rule in the earth concerning evil and separating evil from good. And there's an excommunication passage that follows this about a man who is so evil. But the bottom line is this. Paul was saying, when you come together, you have authority and the power of God. And when you bind on earth, it's bound. And when you loose on earth, it's loosed. There's authority and there's power in the church. And there's something about it, and I've seen it many, many times. We saw an example of a miracle that took place here today as we dedicated this child. But we've seen again and again and again miracles, backs being healed, people being delivered from depression and discouragement. It happens routinely in our church. We don't even talk about it. We don't share all the testimonies. It's like normal life for the miracle power of God and the answers of prayer. And when we come together, your children and your teenagers, by God in heaven, if I still had children and I still had teenagers, thank God we raised our children in this church. And we didn't have a family meeting every Sunday. Shall we go to church? What does everybody think of it? Church was a habit. Church wasn't even a question. And I'll say this, if church is a discussion in your family, I'm not so sure everything's going to work out okay. I think parents need to be parents. This is just my own opinion. I think parents need to be parents. They need to get their kids and their grandkids into the house of God, and it won't hurt them. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I got a testimony that the house of God is real, real good for a family. Real, real good. All right, I'm way off my notes. Where am I? Somebody tell me where I am. Am I on point number one? The bottom line is the church is a place of presence and power. The second part of this is that we, in the church, when we gather together, we become a spiritual family. The Bible says God places the lonely into families. The church is family. We live, and we've been talking about this, we live in a culture of loneliness and isolation. We've gone on and on about that over the last 6 weeks. But God says, in contrast to that, my church is different. My church is family. Maybe for you, family isn't a warm and fuzzy word. But don't let the fact that your family may have been broken or unhealthy, don't let that taint God's picture of what real family is. Real family is healthy. Real family is a place of safety. Real family is a place of provision and warmth and connection, and it's that place that you want to be, that if you're not there, you will miss it. Something will be missing from your life. And the church, as we come together, we become spiritual family. A woman came up to me just last Sunday, tears in her eyes, and she said to me, can I talk to you? I said, certainly. We were in the lobby, and how can I help you? I said. She said, well, I just want to thank you. I said, oh, what do you want to thank me for? Big tears in her eyes. She could hardly get the sentences out. She couldn't quite phrase. What she was trying to say is, I'm so grateful for this church. She said, I've just been here about a month, and it's changing my life. I feel like I have family, she was saying. She said, I just want you to know I appreciate just the chance to be a part of this church. I said, wow, I think you just made my day. A couple of weeks before that, a man came up to me after one of our services here, and in that service we had talked about suicide and depression and feeling isolated. He said, you know, you were preaching to me today. I know that you were speaking to everybody, but that word was what I needed. I said, wow, tell me what's going on in your life. He said, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I got away from my faith. I had so much suicidal thoughts, so isolated. He said, that message was absolutely my experience. I've been so broken. And he said, but when I come to this place, I feel something, and my life is starting to change. He said, I can't explain it. He said, actually, I'm a licensed clinical therapist. And he said, I know how to talk to people that are in isolation. I know how to talk to people that are in depression and anxiety. But he said, I couldn't get myself. But he said, something about coming into this place is changing my life. There's something. There's just something about being together that is powerful as a family. How was it in the early church? If we could rewind the videotape, go all the way back to those early days, just after the resurrection, the glorious resurrection of Jesus and his ascension up, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church upon those 120 that were in the upper room, and that initial community that became the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. What was it like in that community? Oh, that we could peer into that and see, what was that experience? What did church mean to them? And we see it in Acts chapter 2. It says they worshiped, how? Together. See, they had together. They had that. At the temple, each day, daily, wow. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill, the favor. This is what Kathy was praying and prophesying about earlier, the favor of God. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. There's so much in this verse that's juicy. I could preach on this for hours. Words like together, words like being in the temple. You know, the importance of gathering together as God's people in the temple, in the house of God, the communion, the presence of the Lord in communion, sharing meals, eating together, joy, generosity, so much there, praising God. And then also they met from house to house, life groups. They did life together. Church for them was not a service they attended. They did go to a physical building. And some people will tell you there's something wrong if your church has a building. I personally think that's also crazy, because the early church had a physical building. They went to it daily, but also they were daily in the houses. They were doing life together. They were experiencing true community, true spiritual family. It wasn't a place they went. It was a life that they lived. That's how we come together in a culture. Let me just say this, write this down. In a culture of isolation, the church is a place to belong. It becomes family. It becomes a place of power. Third, when we're together, we discover our purpose in life. I went through the together words in the New Testament, and I found this verse, 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul is talking about gatherings and the early church and how they gathered. He was giving them instructions on what to do when they came together as the church. And this just popped out of me. He said, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let it all be done so that everybody is built up, edified. He wants to see the church strengthened and built up. He says, Jesus is building the church when everybody adds their piece. Well, if everybody here, there's probably about 600 or 700 of us here at this second service, if everybody had a tongue, if everybody had a revelation, if I gave the mic to everybody, that'd be one long service, wouldn't it? I think what he's really actually talking about is the small group dimension. When people were together in their homes, 5, 6, 7 people. He said, when you come together, you're experiencing everybody is. And the point of this is this, not to teach on church order, but to teach on the culture of the church as a place where everybody is adding something, where everybody's gift is making a contribution. In other words, everybody's on the team building the church up. Now, this has something to do with purpose. This has something to do with purpose because if God gave you something for someone else, that's purpose. You have something on the inside of you that will minister life. It'll be a perspective, it'll be a prayer, it'll be a comment, it'll be a prophetic word, it'll be something that will add and nurture, and you'll add to the family, you'll add to the church, and Jesus will use that to build the church together strongly until the body of Christ is mature and healthy and established. In other words, you find purpose in community as you contribute. Wrong picture of the church is spectators, you, and performers, people on the stage. That's not church. That's not church. This is church. When you come together, everybody is giving, everybody is receiving. It's like a family reunion where everybody's got a story and everybody's adding to. And that releases purpose. God has given each of us a purpose, a holy purpose, a vivid God purpose that is sown into our lives, and that's His plan for us. We all are on the team. We all are on the local church team. We're all a part, and our local church is on the Silicon Valley church team, and the Silicon Valley church team is on the Bay Area church team, and we're all connected to what God is doing around the world. Think of the believers all over the world, this great family of God. You may not know what your gift is. You say, well, I don't know what my gift is. And I don't have a title. I'm not a big shot. You're the lead pastor, but what's my title? Or you're the youth pastor, or you're the. But see, it's not about titles, it's about the thing that's in your heart. That God has a plan to use you, probably in many different ways. Don't get too worried about titles, because titles can change. I've had a lot of different titles over these last 38 years that I've served this church. I wasn't always the lead pastor. I've had many, many different kinds of jobs that I've done, and none of those jobs defines me. I am not my title. I am not my job. I'm a creation of God that, as long as I'm connected into what God is doing, that's really what I want. I was telling the first service that I received prophetic ministry in our church when I was 17. Kathy and I are pastoring the church that we got saved in. This is our church. This is where we met the Lord. And so we started early as teenagers, and we received prophetic ministry. And one time we had a prophetic presbytery meeting, and these really scary prophets were there. and this was before I was married, and I was 17 years old, and they ministered to me prophetically. And I think at that time I was wondering, Lord, do you have a plan for my life? Would I be a pastor? Would I be a missionary? What would I be? Would I be a businessman? Trying to find my place in the world, my identity. And one of the neat things about prophetic ministry is it can help you locate who you are, you know. And sometimes a prophet will say, you know, I see a missionary anointing on you. There might be some specific things about it, right? So I knelt down and they ministered to me, but it was very vague. The prophecies were very general, like, you're going to be a vessel of the Lord. He's going to use you. The Lord loves you. You know, it was one of those kinds of prophecies. You know, God's hand is on you. It was real general. And when the service was over, a couple of my friends were, they were like actually comforting me. I think they thought, he's got to be discouraged because that was such a weak prophecy. It was just like nothing to it, right? And it did, I think I was hoping for a little more, you know, fireworks maybe in my prophecy. But it came to me that I said, I'm not sad because what the Lord actually said was he was going to use me. For me, that was enough. That God would pour his glory through me, that he would use me to touch other people. That became something so great. I knew then something that I've never forgotten, and I want to share it with you, and that is this, that what you are a part of is bigger than the part you play. It doesn't matter about your title. It doesn't matter about what role you're in. You might be something today, and you'll be something else a year from now. I was a missionary in the Philippines, and this church called me and said, come home and be the pastor. I said, I'm trying to be a missionary. You're messing with my title. But it's not the title, it's not the function, it's the heart. And understanding that whether you're an intercessor or an usher or you're pushing a camera or you're working in children's ministry or youth ministry or men's ministry or cafe or door greeting or leading a life group, whatever it is, that the part that you have is important, but it's not the whole picture. You're part of something so much bigger in terms of purpose. What you are is bigger. What you're a part of is bigger than the part you play. The church is the greatest team to be on. There's nothing greater. The fourth thing that happens when we come together is we're able to win life's toughest battles. There's something about being with your posse. You're set, you know. The people that are there for you. Every once in a while, I'll meet somebody. They've been alone, and they join, and they'll say something like, I really like your church. And I'll say, no, this is your church. You're with us now. See? This belongs to you. You're a part of this. There are battles in life, and I don't have to convince you of that. You know what the Bible says. You know the devil is a roaring lion and he seeks whom he may devour. And you know it's tough on your campus or your workplace. You know the difficulties in your neighborhood or your apartment complex. Life and your own marriage and your own family sometimes can be a war zone. There are battles in life. But the cool thing is, when you know you're not alone, you're not easy to defeat. Hallelujah. Because even though you've had maybe a really hard week or you're going through a really tough season of time, you're a part of something. You're a part of an army. And anybody that messes with you messes with your people. All right, if the devil messes with you, he's messing with me. If you and I are connected, and so we become an army, we become a place where we actually have each other's back. I could say so much more about that, but the whole role of prayer, being a part of a church that's, I don't mean a church that doesn't have a prayer meeting. Not that kind of a church. A praying church. Being a part of a church that there's prayer meetings and there's life groups and they pray together and there's prayer before the service and there's warfare. And then if somebody gets discouraged, somebody's arm is going to go around them and there's going to be prayer. That kind of a church, people start winning their battles. People start winning their battles. And Paul reminds us as a family never to stop praying for each other. And to remember if we're blessing our chili dog or our carne asada burrito, whatever it is on the plate, just all through the day, we're breathing prayers. Bless my chili dog, but bless my life group. Bless my church. Bless Gateway in every one of our five cities. Bless, Lord. Bless all of our brothers and sisters. Bless our children. Bless our teenagers. Bless our seniors. Bless our working people. Bless our retirees, Lord. Bless the families. Bless people that are sleep deprived, still raising their children. Bless them, Lord. Bless the women and the men. Hallelujah. And we pray for each other, and it rebukes the devil. It drives him back. And we end up with a zone. We're in a zone of safety because we're together. How many understand what I'm talking about? We win battles together, and that's a precious thing. This is how it ought to be. When the enemy attacks, the church has your back. I don't want you to be alone because you're easy pickings if you're by yourself. But when you're with your set, you're not so easy to pull apart. Hallelujah. Finally, when we're together, we can reveal Christ's image to the world. This is something I think maybe the most special part of being church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the beliefs, the songs we sing, the culture we have. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the temple of God, the people of God. The special thing about that is that when we are together, the image of Jesus is projected to the world. The Bible says this: you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. Those are all group words. That's all corporate language. None of it is individual. We live in a very individual society. People want to be alone. They want to do it by themselves. But God said, you're a race. You're a priesthood. These are groups. You're a nation. You're a people. You're a generation. And God has brought you together so that you may proclaim the praises. You may show forth the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, the church is a spotlight. It's a projection of who Jesus is in the earth. And let me tell you how this works. I told you last Sunday that I have way too many Apple devices. I love Apple, and I have an Apple Watch and an Apple phone. And it's none of your business how many devices I have, but it's too many. Do you have your phone with you? You don't? You didn't bring your phone to church? I like that. That's good. It's okay. But if you look at the screen on your phone, even if you have one of the old flip phones, like I could pull up a photo. That's a photo of me. What's that doing there? Okay, this is my grandson, Asher. He had his third birthday yesterday. He's 4 years old. And his favorite color is red. Asher's awesome. I got a picture of Asher here, but this picture, you know, when I'm back from it, I see he's a beautiful boy. But if I get really, really close to it, this picture is not one continuous picture. It's a series of dots. It's pixels. Little dots tight together. Your television's the same thing. It's little tiny dots, and then you step back and you see the image. If I was to take you to Europe, I could show you the great stained glass. You can see some of them here in America, stained glass pictures. And they're made of bits of glass, green and red and yellow. And it's all pieced together. You step back and it's glorious. It's beautiful. It shines. It radiates beauty. If I took you to Israel with me, we're going in a few weeks, show you some of the tile mosaics, the broken tiles, the purple and the orange and the every little piece. You get close to it, you see just broken dots. You step back, and you see this beautiful picture, right? What I'm saying to us is, that's a picture of the church. When we're together, you're just a broken tile, I'm just a broken tile, I'm just a dot, I'm nothing. I'm green. You're blue. We're different, but we're close together. Then you step back, and oh my goodness, what do we see? We see Jesus. Red and yellow, black and white, male and female, old and young, skinny and not so skinny, white hair, black hair, no hair, green hair, hallelujah. And what's shining through? We are showing forth the praises of God, the image of Jesus, which the world wants to see. They can't see it just in you or you by yourself, but when we're together, they're getting a picture of who Jesus is, and that is amazing. Perhaps that's why the writer of the book of Hebrews had this to say about being together. This is our last verse. This is not a time. Listen, let the Holy Spirit speak this to you. This is not your time to pull away. This is not your time to neglect together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because, say it with me, we need each other. This is the word of God. In fact, we should come together more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward, as we anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. If I was you, I would protect together with God's people. Protect it. Watch for it. If I was raising children, I would protect together in God's house. I'd say, that's something our family does. This is what we do. If I was you and the enemy was lying and saying, you're worthless, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, they won't notice if you're gone. If you're hearing that kind of stuff, I'd double down on together. I'd make sure I was in. I'd make sure I was a part, because we need this experience. And if you agree, say amen. Bow your heads, everybody. I'm going to close the service in prayer for you. Father, thank you for what you're saying to us this morning in the Word of God, which is a light to our path. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us more and more about together. I come against, Lord, the works of darkness. I can sense the enemy sniffing around, trying to discourage, trying to see who he could seize. But Lord, we're tightening up the lines. We're coming together and we're banding, and we're not afraid of anything the enemy would try to do. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus is protecting us. We know that we are his children, his family, that we are his dwelling place in the earth, that we are a part of the greatest thing that's ever been built. Father, I pray that you would just restore strength and life and blessing to every person. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want to close this service before giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you don't know much about church, you don't know much, but you do believe in God and you want a relationship with him. I'm not asking you to join our church. It would be fine if you did. What I'm asking, though, is if you would open the door of your heart to Jesus and turn your life over to him. If you've never done that, I want to pray for you. I want you to leave this building knowing that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your future home. If you're here and you want me to pray for you, I would never embarrass you, but while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip up a hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Please pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. I see you. I see you. Just lift it up right where you are. I see you, sir, over there on my right. Is there a fourth hand? You just say, Pastor David, pray for me. If you're listening online, you can just push the button to receive Christ. Let us know. Thank you. I see you over there. There's a fifth. I'm going to pray for you right now. You can put your hands down. Lord, you see our hearts. You see the hunger. You see the need. I'm asking you, Jesus, to pour out your Spirit. Lord, as these people surrender their hearts to you, do a miracle right now in their lives, Lord. Today is their day. This is their time. Their sins washed away, a brand new life in Christ. I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I can't do that, but you can. Do it now in their hearts and let them grow and become strong pillars in God's kingdom, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. There's five hands that went up in this service to say, I'm receiving Jesus. I think we ought to give them a hand. Let them know. That's awesome. Give them a hand. There's a prayer. I want to say a prayer with you. We're going to receive the offering in just a moment. We're going to close with some worship together. My friends on the altar team are going to come. They'll be available to pray for you if you need more prayer today. And then you'll be able to register in the lobby for the conference if you haven't done so. But let's just say this prayer. Everyone that raised their hands, everyone watching online, everyone in the house, let's pray together. Father God, here we go. I praise you for sending Jesus so that I would never be alone. I can't do life by myself. I need your love and I need partners. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Thank you for dying for my sins and rising from the dead to set me free. I choose to trust in you and follow you from this day on. In your name, amen. I believe you meant that, and I believe God heard it, and I believe life is about to get very, very good for you. Let's worship the Lord together. Ushers, come, serve the people. We'll be back to close in just a minute.
forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Holy Spirit,
drive bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Not for a
praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to be baptizing people. Your prayers are being answered. People are coming to Christ or being saved and baptized. So on the cafe, if you want to meet your new family members, join them out there for water baptism. Two brand new souls coming to the Lord today. Isn't that wonderful? Our friends are here at the front if you need prayer. And I just want to bless you and let you know I love you. I love each and every one of you very, very, very much. I'm so glad we can be a family together. Now, if you lift your hands, I'm just going to speak life over you. Life over your week, life over your bodies, life over your families, life over your spirit, life over your broken heart. Lord, let the bones live. Without you, we're nothing, but with you, we can do anything. So let that power rest on your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. You are dismissed. Registration's in the lobby. Prayer team's up here. Connect with each other.